Welcome to Rider Club Radio, the podcast all about Kamen Rider. I'm your host, Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
And today we're going to be talking about whatever episode of Kamen Rider Drive this is. I bet it's the one after 36.
Yeah, well, you figured it out halfway through your sentence. Yeah, it's 37. You're slipping. You had it last time. Yeah.
I had it two times in a row. Like, everyone was impressed. This motherfucker can count.
Jeff's finally getting an air of professionalism, and you just fucking threw it all away.
It's done. It was an air, and a wind blew through. What happened in today's episode, Liam?
Okay, today's episode is the start of a whole new plot point, because we just ended the whole thing of, oh, who killed Shinosuke's dad? Oh, it was Nira, we gotta kill Shinosuke's dad's killer, Nira. That's all done now, finally. They're not going back to it, thank God.
Far as we know.
I think I have enough faith in them that they won't. So there's some fiery Roid Mutes running around at the beginning of this episode, and even the generic Roid Mutes, they haven't evolved or anything, they're all fiery, they're throwing fire everywhere. And everyone's like, why are they all fiery? They're normal. They shouldn't have
not only are these Roid Mutes fiery, but they also seem to be completely out of control and fiery.
Yeah. They're all tired, and they're like, what am I doing? Foosh, foosh, foosh. Shooting their shit everywhere. So they're in investigating that while investigating one of the Roid Mutes that gets blown up by Shinosuke after he starts lighting everything on fire. They find their way to a mysterious French restaurant. The whole gang. The SCU is actually getting involved a little bit in this episode, which is nice.
They actually showed up. It's one in a row.
Yeah, Shinosuke and Gen and Kiriko and Q all go to this secret French restaurant that has a special sauce that makes everything delicious. Meanwhile, there's these other two Roid Mutes, these new boss Roid Mutes in town, 008 and 006. And Hart comes in and is like, hey guys, what's up? And you don't find out much more about them, like what their real names are or what their form is. Like, what their evolved form is, you don't find out. They're gonna save that for later. I don't mind that.
Nah, that's fine.
And they do fight Go and Chase to try and get Banno back on the iPad.
Yeah, just a quick aside, Go doesn't seem to hate Chase anymore. He just kind of lost that between episodes. He sees Chase and he's like, oh, don't surprise me like that, good buddy.
It's a slip-up in this one. This episode, we'll talk about the quality afterwards.
Yeah, go right ahead, though.
So they try and get the iPad back, and they fail. And Go finally explains, during this scene, or before this scene, why he and Kiriko somehow have no idea who their father is. It's because they were never told at all. They grew up without a father. So that's as good an explanation as you could have expected.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, Go says that he found out when he was in America about Banno, so he has a reason for knowing, and Kiriko has a reason for not knowing.
Yeah. So I guess they took their mother's name or something, and their dad was just out of their life. That makes sense. That's fine. It's not crazy smart or anything, but it's as good as you could expect.
It's the basic explanation that we were all looking for.
Yeah. So while Shinosuke and the gang are at the restaurant, they see a mysterious employee who's messing with some bottles, and Shinosuke's like, I'm gonna go back to the restaurant, see what's up with that sauce and that employee. And sure enough, he finds the employee, like, making off with some of the sauce. And he's like, what are you doing with that sauce? And he runs off. The employee's like, fuck, I gotta go. I gotta run. And he runs away, and Shinosuke chases after him, and they get stopped by a Roid Mute. And then the Roid Mute fuses with the employee, or at least seems to fuse with the employee.
Yeah,
the employee's off screen.
Let's asterisk that. He runs off screen, and then the Roid Mute fuses with someone off screen and
like
comes
behind
back.
A tree or something. And everyone's like, oh, the employee is the Roid Mute. So probably it's not him.
Yeah, probably not.
But anyways, Medic shows up, and she brings a Reaper, and she takes the sauce from the Roid Mute. The Roid Mute's got the sauce, the special sauce, and Medic splashes it on the Reaper, and it turns out the sauce, you can eat it if you're a human, and it tastes delicious, but if you splash it on a Roid Mute, it makes them go crazy and shoot fire everywhere. And Medic says that this is like an experiment to try and force ultimate evolution. Like, maybe they can come up with a serum that they can just splash on themselves, and they'll turn gold. So that's that, but Hart busts in and starts blowing shit up, and he says, no, that's horse shit. You can't get a real ultimate evolution from just drinking some potion. Now fight me, Shinosuke. And they fight, and Hart kicks Shinosuke's ass really good, and then Shinosuke gets blown over to a forest, like a ways away, and he doesn't have his belt, and Hart's gonna kick his ass, and that's the end of the episode.
Yeah, the episode ended on a tense moment if you don't remember that Hart is completely and totally against fighting Shinosuke when he's not transformed.
Yeah, because then how can he get the joy?
These fucking Roid Mutes and their Metal Gear Solid 3 like, focusing on emotions on the battlefield and shit.
Heart's the joy, Medic is the compassion, the envy.
Where the fuck is her compassion at?
I don't know. Medic is, maybe that's why she hasn't done the ultimate evolution yet, because she keeps fucking killing the people that she's supposed to care for.
Yeah, I was waiting for Heart, who, like, loves Roidmude so much, to come out and be like, look, you fucking bitch, what are you doing? I hate you. And it's happening now, so I'm happy with that.
Finally, I'm sure Brain is very happy with this development. By the way, Brain is alive. That was a little ambiguous at the end of the last episode. Brain is still alive, he just doesn't have a body. He's a little...
Yeah, Brain is three numbers floating around in space.
He's a little 003. I don't know when the hell he's gonna come back. It doesn't look like it's gonna be anytime soon, but we'll see.
Yeah, Medic is apparently the one who gives them new bodies when they get fucked up, and she's not in any hurry to give Brain a new body.
Yeah, I can imagine. She's always coming up with excuses. Oh, I'm busy. I gotta do my laundry that day, Brain. I'm sorry. Oh, you know,
I got errands to run.
Yeah,
I'll get back to it.
All the neo-viral cores are up in the attic. I don't want to go all the way up there. So yeah, Brain is some floating numbers.
Heart showing up was great. I really thought that we were going to go the rest of the fucking series without Heart realizing that Medic was just murdering Roidmudes left and right. And I mean, to us, it seems like, you know, it's no big deal. She's murdering mooks or whatever. There's tons of those mooks running around. There is a fucking set number of these guys.
Yeah, there's exactly 108 of them. 109 if you count Chase. It's you don't have leeway to just go murdering them.
No.
It's not billions.
It's funny, a lot of times in this series, and I always get, like, a chuckle out of it, they're like, we need to wipe all these fucking Roidmudes out, and then, like, the camera pans over and Chase is standing there, and they're like, they should, not you, Chase, not you, buddy.
Not that there's anything wrong with being a Roidmude, I mean, it's perfectly natural. They sort of seem to be going in that direction. They touch on it every now and again, and then leave it, of, like, maybe Roidmudes aren't all bad. Like, in this one, they do a whole spiel where they're like, oh, the Roidmudes are kind of the victims here, because they don't choose when they get splashed with the sauce.
Yeah.
And then they go crazy. And
Medic is the villain here, and she's a specific villain amongst villains or something, but I like that they're touching on that. It seems weird that they see all these human emotions and stuff that the Roidmudes are having. Like, Heart really cares about Roidmudes and everything, but they don't seem to give a shit. They're like, there's still Roidmudes, kill them, whatever.
Yeah, it's, I guess they only have qualms about killing the good ones, and the bad ones they just don't even fucking think twice about.
That's sort of a Kamen Rider thing, though. Like, the original Kamen Rider's villains were all, like, kidnapped people who were turned into fucking monsters, and they just killed them.
Yeah, but there was no hope of them ever turning back. They were evil forever.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, none of the... Unless you count the first and the next, which, if you listen to this podcast, we don't. There are no monsters who become good in any of the original series. They're like fucking monsters, and if they're brainwashed, they're just evil forever.
Yeah, later Showa series sometimes, like mid-later Showa series sometimes do that, but like, season
well, I mean,
one...
Like, If you use, like, Mole Beastman as your... he wasn't ever brainwashed, is why he's good.
Oh, wasn't he?
No.
Oh, that makes sense now.
But, like, Shocker Great Leader brainwashing is some shit. You don't come back from it. But
yeah.
The Roidmudes seem to be able to choose their own path in life. They just mostly all agree with Heart's fucking wipe-out-humanity shit.
Yeah. There's some that are... not as, or a little softer towards it. They can be turned with anime or what have you.
Or Kiriko.
Or hell,
they can be...
sometimes, like, maybe the ones that got splashed with the fiery thing were dickholes anyways. They're just dickholes who happened to have something bad happen to them, you know?
Well, yeah, but if you're a police officer or whatever and some asshole gets murdered, you still try to get justice for them, even if they were a bad guy as well.
What if they were a robot?
Robots have feelings in the show.
I guess.
What if Quick Man got killed, Liam?
Quick Man did get killed at the end of Mega Man 2. He blew up.
He came back.
He came back in the fucking manga.
He came back in every supplementary material, bitch.
Yeah, because he was cool, but those supplementary materials aren't canon to the games.
Nothing is canon to the games. There's no fucking story. Anyway, I got off
topic. Thanks for listening to the Mega Man podcast.
That's fine. I would do that.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
There's a future project sitting there.
Anyway. I have a theory about who the cook Royd Mute actually is.
Okay.
It's not the assistant.
Okay.
It is not the main chef. It is the girl.
Oh. Why do you think her specifically? Because she didn't do or
because
say
she's
anything?
She's the one who's least likely.
Yeah. I guess. Like, the chef talked a lot, and he was, like, kind of a central figure in the episode when they go to the restaurant. The girl mm-hmm. was the one who didn't say much or do much. She was very meek. She was introduced and then forgotten, which makes her the perfect culprit in any crime.
Yeah. I would say her, but, like, I've been wrong about this before. Like, it was absolutely the most obvious person in some episodes before, like, the Tachibana episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the most obvious person to be dealing with the Royd Mute.
Well, because you said back in the Tachibana episode, it's that crime show flaw, where it's like, here's this new character, and also at the same time, somebody is killing people, who is this mysterious person? Who the fuck do you think?
It's the guest star
yeah.
problem in cop shows.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Kamen Rider Drive is picking up all those cop show cliches.
For better or for worse, yeah.
But that's my theory for it. If I'm completely fucking wrong, write in and tell me. Write in and tell me I'm an idiot. Go ahead.
I think you're right. I'll throw in on this crazy shit.
It's the girl. She was not the sous chef. She wasn't the actual chef. She was something else.
She was a Royd Mute infiltrator.
Yeah, that's what it said under her name when it introduced her.
Bad
Maybe
guy.
That's why. Maybe that's why I think she's the Royd Mute. But what did you think about this episode, Liam? I'll let you go first this time.
There are some ups and there are some downs in this episode.
We looking at a D minus again?
D minus is the highest I will give. So don't expect it. No, it's the ups are that we get to see the SCU again. Thank fucking God.
That's true.
We get a nice slightly more lighthearted plot line than all, like, Tamari's dad is getting murdered. It's not as emotional, it's not as dire. There's no Mexican standoff hostage situations. It's about, like, a silly French chef and his weird delicious sauce. And there's comedy scenes, like when Krim they're describing the deliciousness of the sauce, and Krim obviously can't eat it because he's a fucking belt. And he's
and
like,
he gets so fucking mad
he's like,
and frustrated.
Stop talking about the sauce! It's just like, it's a very old, like, story technique that after you have something really, really heavy happen, you just have this, like, light stuff to ease the audience out of that. That's good. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That having been said, it's just not as good quality writing as we've had in the last few episodes, that the bar has just been set too high. And when we come to this thing, it feels like this is going to be another sort of, like, one-off plot. Like, it's going to be, like, a two- or three-parter, and then, like, the bad guys are making a sauce, it doesn't work, forget the whole fucking thing and move on. And I feel like it's not going to have much impact in the end. I know...
Well...
Hart is getting his final evolution next episode.
Exactly.
But what is the sauce going to have to do with that?
Well, think about it this way. This episode might be like a one or two parter or whatever, but there had to be a catalyst that mattered in that moment to get Hart to his ultimate evolution. It wasn't just he showed up and decided to fight Shinosuke for no reason. He had to show up to protect the Royd Mutes from Medic and then fight Shinosuke.
I hope you're right. I hope this has a lasting impact, and I guess it will, because Hart's gonna fucking die next episode, almost certainly.
He might not die, let's put it that way.
Okay.
Although introducing two big boss characters at the same time seems like a great way to, especially since they seem to hate each other, it seems like a great way to replace the big boss character and have two warring factions for a little while.
That's another plus I have. The fight scene where the two big boss guys, no, it was just one big boss guy, I believe it was 008, comes to get Go and Chase. Really, really cool scene. You get, like, out of suit fights.
I think it was 006.
Six? I don't fucking... They're interchangeable.
It doesn't matter.
Right now.
But that fight scene was fucking great. That's what I was gonna bring up when I started talking about it. That choreography was mwah, good.
If you listen to this podcast, you know, Jeff and I always complain that old Kamen Rider series have a lot of good raw kung fu. And you don't see a lot of that in modern Kamen Rider. But this episode had a good chunk of it right in the middle. That was great.
Yeah, yeah, that was like fucking kick a second. I was excited.
Yeah. That having been said,
the wire special effects were at a minimum, and I appreciate that. Yeah. In a kung fu scene and some martial arts, so I just wanted to drop that right in the middle of your explanation.
Yeah, no, I get it. That having been said about those new villains, I'm not sure if they're going to be as fun as Heart and Brain. Like, Brain, I don't even know how long he's going to last from now on. He doesn't even have a body anymore. Heart has this huge death flag hanging over his head. He's going to reach his final form next episode, which as a villain means you're dead, and also we're getting two new villains introduced, which means Heart's probably going to be out the door.
I'm going to be on the other side of that. I'm going to say Heart's going to survive.
You think?
And he's going to survive next episode because Shinosuke doesn't have his belt, and he's not going to want to fight Shinosuke without the belt. So he's going to leave him
alone.
But
the thing is, how is he going to achieve his final evolution if he's not fighting Shinosuke while he's transformed?
Maybe he's like, he's got such a fucking fight boner that he's going to like fight Climax when they exploded, and then he's going to fight Afterglow and turn gold.
Maybe. I don't know. I think he's going to leave at the beginning. He's going to say, oh, you're not worth fighting without Krim, but later in the episode, maybe at the end, he's going to turn.
Maybe. I figure it probably will be at the end, but I don't think Heart's out the door just yet.
I don't know. Brain survived.
Because Heart hasn't done anything just yet.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, look back on his history. He pretty much just stands in dark rooms with drapery hanging everywhere and makes speeches.
Maybe his final form achievement, like his getting his final form, will be the herald for him to be part of a better plot. Like, overarching plot, like it was with Brain. Maybe.
Maybe. I hope so.
I hope so, too. A lot of hopes in this episode. Not as good as the last arc we came out of, but it was pretty good. I liked it. What about you?
This is the first step into the new arc, though. You can't... In a way, you can't just, like, blow your load up front. I'm doing a lot of sex metaphors today.
Well, there's promise there. That's the thing. If at the start, it doesn't have to be good right away. It has to have promise. And there's promise for good, but there's potential for bad as well. A lot of it hanging around.
I agree. I will come out and say that this episode was not as good as the previous episodes, but that was a high bar.
Yes.
That was set by those episodes.
Absolutely.
So, like you said, the sort of comedy at the beginning of this episode was, like, right up in your face, and that was because last episode was so heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed seeing Q again. It was great seeing Gen begin.
God, they
Kiriko
spoke.
Talked.
Yeah, everybody yeah. talked. That was so nice to see them getting involved in what was going on. God, that's good.
There was some investigating again. It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, I would give this episode, like, B- or something. I wouldn't be, like, D- or whatever, like Liam always does, because he's a prick.
I would actually say B. I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to go above you this week. I'll say B.
You just gotta outdo me somehow, don't you, motherfucker?
I gotta keep the audience constantly guessing.
Does Liam hate this show, or does he like this show? Who knows? I enjoyed this episode. There's a lot of promise, and I'm gonna be very disappointed if Heart dies next episode. Because, like I said, he hasn't done anything yet.
Yeah.
He was there for Dead Heat. Like, he was the reason behind Dead Heat, and then since then, he's done absolutely nothing.
Well, I'd like to be able to say that Drive's writers have gotten better recently, so I hope not. I hope our fears don't come to pass, but we'll have to wait and see.
I'm on their side.
Yeah.
I'm on their side. I think that Hart's going to make it out.
Yeah.
I understand where you're coming from, thinking he's totally going to bite the bucket, because everybody who's turned gold so far has got Ryder kicked into fucking oblivion. Or being floating numbers.
Yeah.
But I don't think Hart's going out like that. I think he is going to admonish Medic, and Medic is going to learn compassion from that. And
Ooh.
Eventually, when Heart dies, Medic is going to attain her ultimate evolution because of his death.
Yeah. That would be good.
That would be grud.
What I got caught between great and good, and I said grud.
That is my fan fiction for this series. I hope it comes to pass.
That's, you know what? It's likely. I that sounds realistic to me. Of course, we can't say anything until the actual episodes happen, but...
Do you think Banno is going to be, like, a villain or a good guy?
I think Banno is going to be a reluctant good guy. That's how it seems to be going.
Do you think so?
I think, well, actually, fuck, because he keeps saying, oh, you don't know Krim like I know Krim. Krim's got secrets. Maybe he'll put himself against Krim because of what he knows?
Maybe. I like to think, and this is more of my fanfiction, go to fanfiction.net/Jeff from Rider Club Radio
There's nothing wrong with a little speculation.
But I think Banno is playing Go and telling him all this shit about Krim and his secrets and you don't know him bit by bit to get Go to believe him to turn against Krim. And Banno is actually a villain.
Ah, but we're gonna have Go being evil again.
You know it.
I know it was a ploy the first time, but we've been through it.
I hope I'm wrong about this. But it seems likely, knowing Kamen Rider and misunderstandings.
Well, Drive's been good about misunderstandings.
That's true. Yeah. But it's always there. It's always waiting around every corner. Rider series, waiting to pounce on the story.
The creeping, ghostly threat of misunderstandings hanging over the head of every season.
I worry about that. Hopefully that's not true. I would really like it if Banno was actually a good guy, and he regretted the creation of the Roid Mutes. But, be that as it may, the Roid Mutes had to learn this idea of the promised number from somebody.
Yeah.
They're robots. They were created. They shouldn't just have come up with this promise number idea themselves.
Yeah, robots don't have mythology, usually.
Yeah, so I would imagine that Banno has something to do with that.
Probably.
And he's biding his time right now.
Yeah,
I guess... Because, I mean, he's so important to the Roid Mutes, right? That they're trying to get him back this badly.
Yeah, they want him so bad.
Why did they have him to begin with? What was the purpose?
Well, obviously, because he knows something about the promised number.
There you go.
That's almost certainly it, because what other plan do they have right now? What other plan do the Roid Mutes have right now other than attaining this promised number and then conquering the world, I suppose?
Yeah, wiping out humanity and especially Kamen Riders.
Especially.
That's their plan.
Those dangerous people, Kamen Riders.
Moving in and taking our jobs.
I have a couple questions about this episode.
All right.
Whatever happened to Chase and Kiriko wanting to have sex with each other? I'm not saying that.
I believe Kiriko wanted to have sex with Chase. Chase is a fucking robot.
No, but look, I'm not saying that as a joke, but like there were actual romantic little bits between them earlier. Like, remember how there was, I think, the Roid Mute that appears before you as your perfect man, and with Kiriko
was Chase.
And there's the scene where Kiriko falls down the thing and Chase catches her, and there's like water in the air spritzing, and it's all, there's like a sun shaft, and it's all romantic. What happened to that?
That was the cover of a fucking romance novel. I Loved the Robot by Kiriko.
So are they gonna fuck or what? They haven't had any, like, hey, let's fuck moments in a really long time.
They haven't even been in the same room as each other for a while, though.
Yeah.
Like, the way it works is apparently Chase is just driving his motorcycle around the city at all times, so that when Shinosuke starts getting his shit wrecked, he can leap in from the side and save him.
I guess Chase doesn't need to sleep or anything, so.
So that's the answer to your question.
He and Kiriko,
the writers apparently forgot.
they're on a break, I'm sure. I have one more question.
Okay.
If you'll remember, in the episode where Type Trideron was revealed, Shinosuke and Krim, their consciousnesses fuse.
Yes.
And Krim can speak through Shinosuke even when they're not transformed. What happened to that?
I think that was maybe a little too weird.
It was super weird.
Yeah, I agree.
But
I'm kind of glad that didn't come back.
Like, I thought when that happened, I thought the belt would be stuck to him forever.
Yeah.
And that they were, permanently together.
He couldn't do that cool, like, slapping the belt on his waist move that he does though.
It seemed like they were building towards it, and then they dropped it like a hot potato.
Imagine you're a child in Japan, and you're watching Kamen Rider Drive with your little Krim belt around your waist, and, you know, you're hitting the button, and nice drive, you know.
Yeah.
And then Shinosuke wakes up, and they're like, oh, Shinosuke, you can never take that belt off again. It'll be fused to you forever. That little kid would be yanking that belt off and throwing it across the room like a motherfucker.
It would be a little fucked up. All I could think of when I saw that was, how is he ever going to masturbate again? with that.
Krim, shut your eyes! Shut your eyes!
It would be right in front of his face, too. Hovering a mere centimeter away.
Oh, God. This is a relationship that he was never meant to have with this belt.
Yeah, so that's why they got rid of it. I'm sure the writers probably thought the exact same thing, and they were like, we can't have it. It's not internally consistent.
The fucking writers of this series thought, how's he gonna beat off?
Look,
we can't have this happen.
He's a single 20-something, okay? It has to pass through their minds eventually.
That's how I write my series. Anytime I make a character up or change something about him, I'm like, but wait, is this gonna affect the way they beat off?
It's an angle you gotta watch out for.
You gotta be internally consistent with your characters.
Yeah, you have to keep a constant world. So, thumbs up?
Thumbs up, I gotta say. I don't have any questions, but I do have an idea.
What is
about
your idea?
This episode. I think this episode is specifically trying to reintroduce the SVU as characters into the show. The show has been so heavily about Shinosuke and his father, and Go and his father, and Chase, and whatever the fuck Chase is doing, that there was no room for the SVU to have anything to do with it. SCU. Oh, yeah. The Special Victims Unit was in this episode, is what I'm saying.
You're thinking of Law & Order SVU.
Yeah.
That's fucked.
Fucking Munch was in this episode.
Ugh.
Anyway, the SCU is back, and I think it's because even the writers were aware that they had been completely misusing them for a while by not using them.
Well, at least they knew. At least they acknowledged it and are working to fix it, thank God.
So my idea is that the next few episodes are going to be like quick two-parter stories that have a lot of stuff to do with the full overarching story, but each of them is going to focus heavily on one of the SVU characters again. I mean, this episode was pretty Q heavy.
Yeah, Q.
He was driving the force of this episode.
Yeah, he was the one who led them to the restaurant, yeah.
Yeah, and he was the one who knew everything about it. He's the one who figured it out. He told them everything they needed to know. He's doing what he's supposed to do again, which is great.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to continue with the other SVU characters.
SCU. Watch that.
Dude, I had to sit and watch SVU almost every damn episode just playing while I was doing other stuff. Because my lady friend loved that show and had to marathon it on Netflix.
Yeah, I was going to say, why did you do that to yourself?
Okay, I didn't do it to myself.
I understand. I understand now.
Side note, we say fucking lady friend on here all the time, and it always reminds me of the Big Lebowski when that guy's like, I'm not trying to mess with your lady friend. She's not my fucking lady friend, man. Stay away from my fucking special lady friend.
You've been influenced too much by old movies, Jim. Does that count as an old movie now? God, it was the 90s, wasn't it?
I don't think... Well, yeah, it probably does. God.
Yeah.
We're showing our ages here, I guess. We're in our 20s. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Healthy 20-somethings moving right along.
Let's move on to news before my fucking nurse comes in and tells me it's bedtime.
News, news, news. We got a photograph. This was right after we recorded last time. I think the day after. In keeping with the tradition of the best news coming out right after. Lemon Arms and Walnut Raiment revealed. Pictures. Full body suit photos.
Lemon Arms looks fucking great.
I love it.
Almost all the arms, like the Sengoku driver forms, look great, honestly.
Yeah, the rapier was a weapon that was really conspicuously, not conspicuously, but I wanted it real bad at a game, and I'm glad we're finally getting it, even if it's just in some V-cinema.
Yeah, it's cool, though. It's great that he has his own weapon. He's not a recolor. We mentioned before that we were scared that he was going to be a recolor.
Quite the opposite. It's a different sculpt with the same color scheme as Lemon Energy. That's the swerve right there.
Yeah, that's what we wanted. I wanted it to be like Lemon Energy, but the arms form of it, and that's awesome.
It's exactly what you'd expect. It's different enough that it's unique, but it keeps all the same sort of design philosophies as Lemon Energy. It looks great.
I'm excited for that. The flip side of that is, look, Knuckle is my favorite rider in Gaim.
I like, you have to preface it. I swear to God, Knuckle's good, I promise.
I will fight to the fucking death to defend Knuckle as the best character in Gaim.
You're gonna have to, starting now.
Walnut Raiment is a piece of shit. It's got the stupid little, like, fig leaf bullshit on the head that I hated that Silver Apple had.
Yeah.
It has the fucking regular-ass, like, Coda's version of the Raiments, and it doesn't look very different at all. It's just big and bulky.
It's got sea mines for fists.
Yeah, it's got fucking depth charges on his fists. That's actually my favorite part of it.
It's a cool little bit. It's really weird, but it's a nifty... I want to see a shot where he blows somebody up by punching them. I really hope that's in there.
I hope that's in there too, but man, it's the exact opposite of what I wished would happen, really. If we were going to get one shitty suit and one great suit out of it, I wanted Knuckles to be the great suit, but here we are in this fucked up backwards world where Duke gets the better suit.
Here's what it should have been. Here's what it should have been. Okay. It should have been back of the helmet. You know, like the back of the helmet bit that arms have?
Mm-hmm.
It should have been Jinba Lemon back of the helmet. The same one that Gaim had. Would have looked fine on his helmet. The same Raiment vest that Jinba Lemon has and all the other Raiments, Jinbas, whatever you want to call them. That
all Gaim the Zimbers.
Had. Yeah, all the Zimbers. Slip that on there. No headdress. And just keep the depth charges. It would have looked fine.
Don't put the fucking feather on there. Yeah. That's what's making it look so bad to me.
It's the big...
Like, the back of the head thing looks bad, too, on him. But the fucking feather, what is with that?
It's just this big, like, ugly... It sticks out like a sore thumb. It doesn't mesh with anything else in the design. It's just on his fucking head, and it looks awful.
You might think we're nitpicking. Go look at this.
Oh, yeah,
look
that'll be it. In the blog post. Check it out.
God.
Proof us right.
Lemon Arms looks great.
Yes, thumbs up to Lemon Arms. I love it.
Excited to see that.
Moving
right along.
Speaking of Gaim Gaiden 2, we also have a little bit of behind-the-scenes footage for it. It's nothing substantial. It doesn't show much crazy stuff. But there's a little bit of, like, you see some scenes being shot from a non-final perspective, like from off to the side and stuff. Some set footage. I'll link that also in the description in the blog post. It's a little... Quick little YouTube video. It's like a minute. So
speaking of behind the scenes as well, there was a photo released, and I'm sure it wasn't really released. It's like a Japanese Instagram kind of thing of Michi's actor doing voiceover for Gaim Gaiden 2. So we're gonna get some fucking grape nuts.
Yes, one of our fans tweeted that at us.
Yeah, I will look up who that fan is really quick. Why don't you keep talking about it?
I'm already on it.
All right, I'll keep talking about it. Michi has been in no guidance so far.
He was in Melon a little bit.
I didn't pay attention to him. No, he was in it, and he was actually kind of useful in that plot.
That's at Charlie Belfield. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we appreciate that. Anytime we miss some news, tweet it at us and tell us we're idiots.
Yeah.
We will thank you for it.
You can't catch everything, you know?
No.
Like, you
and
can't follow
everything
every...
comes out the day after we fucking record anyway.
Like, even if we did follow all the actor blogs, I wouldn't understand any of it. It would just be a bunch of Japanesey stuff. Oh!
The only stuff I see is Tokusatsu Network posting that stuff.
Yeah, I have some other news sources, like ORENs, which is the stuff that I post in the blog post all the fucking time. Speaking of actor blogs, a friend of mine... I don't know if he showed this to you, Jeff. This is a mutual friend between us. He showed me a picture of the actor that plays Shinosuke's, his blog.
Oh, yeah. He, like, tweeted those photos?
Yeah, the photos of his little brother all dressed up like Shinosuke with the drive driver doing the transformation pose. His little brother looks like a little mini him. It looks like Shinosuke. It's like Shinosuke if Shinosuke was a normal height and not, like, 7'3". There's a shot in this episode, in 37, where Drive untransforms from type Trideron, and it's like a behind the back shot, And it looks, it's really obvious that Shinosuke gains, like, half a head when he untransforms.
Yeah, he grows a fucking foot out of suit, apparently.
Why don't they have the suit actor stand on a box for shots like that? It's not hard.
They don't even think about it, probably.
They did it with Coda. Coda is really short. They made him stand on a box for some of the transformation sequences, because they knew.
Oh. Well, that's, like, a huge height difference. Like, Coda and his suit actor were, like, a foot different in height.
Yeah, Coda is very short.
Like, he would turn around and transform back to normal, and just the top of his head would be on screen.
Poor guy.
He's great.
He's great. We love you, Gakusano. Don't be mad.
We know you're a big listener of American podcast Rider Club Radio.
Okay, so that was blog news for this week. There's also a DX Walnut Energy toy coming out. Speaking again of Gaim Gaiden.
I love how every episode you're like, I don't do toys, but let's talk about toys.
No. Here's my explanation. I don't do all toys. I just do relevant toys. Like, there's always new SHFs and new McDonald's toys and new fucking, like, candy toys and SG toys and whatever, always being released constantly. I'm not going to talk about all that shit, but just, like, here's this new toy relevant to this movie, or relevant to the show, or something that's interesting or stands out.
I don't talk about toy news, but let's talk about some toy news.
Okay, I'm accepting new hosts. Thank you. Jeff is... Open casting call.
Yeah.
No. Walnut Energy.
Send in your fucking sound clips of you hosting this. I would actually like to hear that.
Just splice your voice in opposite mine. We'll see how the dynamic is. Walnut Energy Lockseed, it comes with its own little Genesis core. You know the thing you gotta stick into the... You gotta put the fucking thing into the side of the Sengoku driver so you can put the two Lockseeds in?
Yeah.
Normally you have to buy a whole Genesis driver and rip it out of there, and then put it in. It's, like, part of the Genesis driver. If you buy Walnut Energy, it comes with a little individual Genesis core that you can slide in there. So if you want one of those Genesis cores but don't want to buy a Genesis driver, now's your chance.
That's pretty neato.
Yeah, you can do it now. The Lockseed itself is just a repaint of Peach Energy, so there's that. It's just brown.
Shocking.
Brown Peach Energy.
Who got the repaint this time? And no respect for Zach. They were just like, who the fuck is in this one? Whatever. Paint it brown.
Just fuck,
whatever.
Yeah, fuck Zach. The poor guy.
Fuck you!
I just hate him because you love him.
Who's your favorite? Tell everyone your shitty favorite.
They all know my favorite was Jonouchi, the superior nut rider.
The shittiest nut.
The superior nut.
The worst nut.
Okay.
Put him in the bottom of a dumpster where he belongs.
Oh, no. Acorns go in a grassy field.
Alright, so next...
Ooh, big news. Big non-Kamen Rider related news. But
yeah, huge.
Big news for Toku fans in general. First of all, Die Ranger is getting an official DVD release in the West.
By Shout Factory.
Gosei Sentai Die Ranger. Yeah, Shout Factory, the same guys that did Zero Ranger.
Yeah, they're releasing it fully English subbed.
Wow.
I'm excited.
That's cool! Like, when Zero Ranger happened, it was like, okay, you know, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, they're doing it on the recognition. Yeah. But here they're doing a show that was never brought over, and they're just putting their faith in it. I love that.
This is, like, a huge step. People who are listening might not realize how huge of a step this is. This is the first time that somebody has taken this big of a chance on a tokusatsu series. Like, there's no connection to America besides the fact that, like, it looks like Power Rangers.
The White Ranger was in the American Power Rangers, but that's it.
Yeah. Conspicuously taller. But anyway, yeah, this is a big step. This could mean a world of tokusatsu getting official English subs. And as much as I love the people who sub tokusatsu and stuff, they can't put hands on everything.
Yeah.
There's only so much that one group can sub. And there are only so many groups. So if we can start getting some official subs, those groups can move on to things that aren't subbed and haven't been touched, and we'll have a huge selection of tokusatsu.
Maybe someday we'll have Gavan or Juko B-Fighter or...
Oh, man, in a perfect world.
All those
world.
Dream series. So when Gosei Sentai Die Ranger comes out on DVD, buy it!
I'm gonna buy it.
Buy it.
I'm gonna pick that shit up quick, because I've always kind of want to watch Die Ranger. You might remember that when we were streaming Sentai together...
We were watching Sentai, Zero Ranger.
We had a choice of what Sentai series to watch next. Our friend gave us a choice, and that choice was Sun Vulcan or Die Ranger. And it was a real tough decision, but we went with Sun Vulcan. I've never actually seen Die Ranger.
I wanted fucking Jetman.
We couldn't find Jetman, is why we went with Sun Vulcan.
Jetman, I found Jetman. Maybe it's easier to find now than it was back then, but...
Yeah, probably so.
I have not seen...
pick up Die Ranger.
Yeah, it's all about, if you don't know, it's all about Kung Fu, Chinese martial arts. That's the theme. There's like a drunken boxer and shit like that. It's really cool.
Yeah. It's pretty, like, heavy on, like, real Kung Fu choreography.
Yeah.
I've heard as well. So I'm excited for that.
I swear Shout Factory didn't pay us. This is homegrown hype. Yeah. I think it's cool.
If it was anyone, I don't give a shit about Shout Factory. I just want them to see that it's profitable so that other companies will get in on it as well.
Yeah.
And we can get a ton of series with English subs.
This could be the dawn of a new age.
It could be. It probably won't be, but I hope it is.
Speaking of Toku coming to the West, Crunchyroll is going to simulcast Ultraman X, starting...
Yeah.
Isn't it
English sub?
Is it already on now, or is it starting very soon?
I think it starts this week.
It's happening probably by the time you're listening to this.
Yeah, it's happening!
It's happening!
But I would like to take a quick moment. We were actually given a guest pass to Crunchyroll so that we would be able to watch Ultraman X. We might actually talk about it a little bit on the podcast as we go along.
Yes, shoutouts.
It has jack shit to do with Kamen Rider.
Shoutouts to Low Visibility. We love you.
Yeah, thanks so much. We appreciate you giving us that guest pass.
We love you. Here's us promoting Low Visibility like they fucking need it from us, but...
This is David promoting Goliath over here. Not that we're going to throw rocks at you or anything.
No, we love you.
But we greatly appreciate that. You have opened the doors to Ultraman for us, because like we said in a previous episode, neither of us have actually watched a whole lot of Ultraman, so this could be our first steps into widening our Toku view.
It sounds like a very good it's a very good jumping on point. There you go. It's right there on Crunchyroll for you. Go check it out. If you've been interested in Ultraman, this is your chance.
Well, I think that's it for news.
No, yeah, that's it for
However,
news.
We do have some emails this time around.
Yes, that's riderclubradio@gmail.com if you want to send us an email.
You're such a shill.
Do it right at the beginning. It's better that way.
It's true. We got an email from Hotshot. He says, "Great podcast, guys. Keep up the good work." Thanks so much.
Thank you.
"My question for you guys is, what type of rider would you want to be? Like how Abyss is a Ryuki type rider in Decade, and what would you call yourself?"
So like what show theme?
Yeah. Like which show would you want to be from, and what type of rider would you want to be?
Yeah.
How about that, Liam? What do you got?
Oh, that's a tough one. A while back I would have said Ryuki, but Ryuki riders have shit lives, so no.
That's true. You do fucking die.
Yeah, you're guaranteed to die. Probably Kabuto, because freezing time is really cool.
That's true. Kabuto was pretty fucking high up there for my choices.
Kabuto, like, just the suits, the slick suits, clock up, casting off. Kabuto's just got all the cool shit you want.
That's true.
As to what kind of Kabuto rider I'd be, I wouldn't want a spider Zector. I think that'd be cool.
Ooh.
What?
You'd frighten me.
What about you, Jeff?
If I had I'm just gonna take 1 second to say, if I was in Kabuto, and I could have a Zector, man, a bee is already taken, but that would be so fucking sick.
It's a wasp, Jeff.
A wasp. I don't want to be a fucking bee. Bumblebee.
Yeah, you can be a big fat bumblebee. You'd be like Mario, shaking your butt
mantis.
Around.
I'd be a mantis.
Oh yeah, that's an obvious
And
choice.
Have like big blades on the arms, that'd be pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah, you can do that.
That's not what I would choose, though. I would choose to be a double rider, and I would have a lost driver, and I would use metal.
Oh, you would just
I would be Kamen Rider Metal.
Okay, that makes sense.
and I would fuck up all of the dopants.
Double designs are really slick.
Oh, yeah.
I know we say that about Kabuto, but double designs are literally, like, slick and smooth, and, like,
yeah,
few details, just, like, here's some single colors, nice, simple.
Except Excel.
Excel is the somehow exception, because he's got that weird motorcycle belt or whatever.
Yeah, Excel has a completely different driver, but with Lost Drivers, you look like double. You look like one half of double, but doubled.
Yeah.
Except Skull had a different head.
Skull, yeah, I guess, maybe if you use it alone, it gives you a specialized head for all
maybe,
of them.
Maybe, because
Eternal,
I mean,
had kind of a specialized
Eternal
head
had a specialized
yeah,
head.
Yeah, the horns.
But Joker did not.
Yeah, it's true. Maybe Joker, maybe if you use two together, it just gives you the Joker head because that's the default. Oh, but then Cyclone didn't have a... This is getting really complicated.
We're getting into the fucking anatomy, the scientific study of Kamen Rider Double.
I'm gonna write a thesis
on
this.
Yeah, I would be Kamen Rider Metal. And I mean, we've made, like, riders for tabletop games before. And if I could be any... Actually, let's expand this question for a second.
Okay.
If you could be one of the Kamen Riders...
Oh, God.
Who would you be? Because I would be Kuga.
Any existing rider. Oh, man.
I would be Kuga. Because Kuga has a power... He has a few powers. He has, like, four forms. But each of them is so specialized that you can do, like, anything from using their specializations.
Yeah, you're very versatile in a fight as Kuga.
Absolutely.
Fuck, that's a tough one. None of the Showa riders, because they all lead horrible lives. Every time you think, oh, it'd be so cool to be, like, a cyborg and to transform like that, no, you lose all your friends and family. You're alone. Is that worth it? No.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
Maybe for you, you freak.
Sign me the fuck up.
Christ. Ooh.
There's a lot of ums in this episode. Ooh,
I would like to be...
The crippling silence. I probably should have asked this before we started recording.
Didn't give me any chance to think. Jonouchi. I'm going to say Jonouchi.
Really?
Yes.
You would be the weakest rider in fucking series.
Look, it's a low responsibility position while still being able to be a rider, and you still get to do Pokemon fights, and you get to dance sometimes still. It's a good deal.
You're also, like, a bald Frenchman's bitch.
I put up with that.
He would
get me swole and make me really good at cooking.
That's
chicks
true.
Chicks would dig me.
That's true. Man, come to think of it, like, Oren was, like, fucking swole
for
a Japanese dude.
Shit, man.
He did. He had big arms.
He was ex-military.
Yeah. Got that bod in the military and then decided he was gonna make pastries.
Well, I can't fault him for his life choices.
Let's move on.
All right, Jake, if you remember, Jake is the guy who was asking about Space Sheriff Gavon last episode. Hey, guys. Thanks for the info on Gavon last time. I'm going to try the movies, but to something more Kamen Rider related, I'm trying to get into Black right now, but I'm having some trouble. I'm about 10 episodes in, and it still just seems like all the characters are flat. Kotaro doesn't seem to have anything to him but anger at Golgam and yelling angrily at people who just got attacked. Are you okay? Dajubuka! You rarely see him...
Dajubuka!
You rarely see him talking normally or doing anything that doesn't in some way involve Golgam. Is this how the series is the whole way through, or do I just have to get deeper into the series? And the answer to that is yes. When I praise...
It's yes in both ways,
yeah,
really.
When I praise Black, you'll notice I never talk about its characters. I'm not, oh, Black's got great characters, aside from Nobuhiko. You don't... Black, it is like that most of the way through. Look, if you don't like Black by episode 10, and those are the things you don't like about Black, it's gonna be rough. It's gonna be rough for you.
Here's the thing. In Kamen Rider series, especially modern Kamen Rider series, they're like, there is this evil thing that's, like, trying to kill people all over the place. Let's go to a fucking juice bar. Just hang out. Let's get some, like, fucking curry at this restaurant. Let's have some parfaits. That's not how it would really fucking be. It would be exactly like Kotaro's life, where every second of it is saving people from being murdered by, like, fishmen or spider guys.
And that's why he's...
That's the life of a Kamen Rider.
That's why he's the best rider. But, like, you watch Black for the suits, for the practical effects, for the awesome music, the fight choreography. Those are really the four pillars that it stands on. It doesn't have super solid writing. It doesn't have super solid characters. If that's...
It's an action series, and the characters have action series personalities.
Yeah, they're one note.
It's not, there's not a whole lot of goofiness. There's not a whole lot of, like, side stories with characters learning how to cook or being fucking, like, bus boys or whatever. It's a lot of restaurants in Kamen Rider.
It's a fun thing.
It's all about Kotaro's one-man war against the overwhelming forces of Golgom.
Yeah, so I'd say Black's... I want to recommend Black. I really do. Because it you'll like it at the end. I know you will once Nobuhiko gets more involved in the plot. But up until then, you're probably not going to like it, if those are your gripes. I hate to say
this. If you're 10 episodes in and you don't like the characters, you should probably stop watching the series.
Yeah.
I hate to say that. I love Black. I haven't finished the series yet. I really should.
You should.
But... it's on the list, buddy.
Sure.
It's on the list.
Alright. Get working on that.
That's actually what I'm working on now. I said I was watching Forza a while ago, and I watched, like, two episodes. So send me an hate mail about that shit, as well.
I'll send you an hate mail about that. I'll send emails to our own account.
About Forza? Like, you haven't seen that shit
to
either.
To Rider Club Radio from Rider Club Radio. Please finish your Rider backlog. Love, Liam.
You're kind of a piece of shit.
So yeah, Black might not be... You might not like Black. I hate to say this.
I hate to say it as well, but it's classic Showa Kamen Rider, but taken to its pinnacle.
Yeah. Anyways.
Let's move along.
Away from that somber note.
We have another email from number one superfan Cyberman Worf.
Hey, buddy.
And he says, "Hey, guys, how are you doing? Kind of shitty."
After that, I'm all down. I'm all glum.
Still enjoying the podcast as always. Since I didn't ask a question last time, I thought I would ask two questions. All right, you greedy bastard, what do you got? Given you guys are quite entertained with Neera and his glorious assholishness, what Rider season would you throw Neera into and just have him screw things up in? I would throw him directly into Kamen Rider Fize.
Fuck, I was going to say Fize.
And I would just have him follow fucking every character around like he does Shinosuke. Like, he just hates everyone's guts, and he's going to make their lives a living hell. Because at least it would be fucking entertaining then. So I took your answer.
I wanted to jump into Fize because there's so much, like, inter-rider conflict already. Throwing
Neera in there is like throwing a fucking lit match into gasoline.
Yeah, seriously.
So where would you throw him if it wouldn't be Fize?
Ryuki? Everybody in Ryuki is a prick. He would fit right in whether he was a rider or not.
That's true. God, I would especially love it if Ren was his target.
Can you... Wait, drop this for a sec. Can you imagine Neera in Kamen Rider 1?
No, not even a little bit. What the fuck?
Can you imagine Neera in Black? He's like, "Ooh, Kotaro."
The only thing I could imagine is if he was in one, like, Hongo would punch him in a fucking face and that would be the end of it.
Does Hongo do that to non-monsters, though?
No, we've had this conversation before. Hongo does not beat up people for giving him lip.
Only Shin does that. That's his thing.
Yeah, put him into Shin. That would make Shin even better.
If Neera was in Shin, and Shin found out that Neera killed his dad or something, Shin would just stab him and brutalize him and rip him apart.
Shin would rip his fucking head off. He was Sub-Zero in Mortal Kombat.
God, Shin is awesome.
Anyway, question number two. Also, given how most things with Rider crossovers tend to not be so great, Kamen Rider versus Super Sentai, for example.
Oh, there are many more examples.
What do you think would make a good crossover with Kamen Rider? I saw some pretty damn good tweets you were making about this.
I think about this a lot, because I'm not a big comic book guy, but I do watch American superhero movies like everybody else on the planet, mostly.
I'm a big comic book guy.
Jeff, you're the big comic book guy. I would love... to see Japanese and American superhero crossovers. Like, haven't you ever thought about that? Who would win in a fight between Kabuto and Iron Man or something like that? A little dream match played out in your head. How would that go?
Yeah, I've often thought about, like, you know, Green Lanterns or an intergalactic police force, right?
Yeah.
Well, what about they should meet up with the space sheriffs out there, and, like, misunderstandings would happen, and they would, like, fight each other for a little bit because it's American comics, and then they would team up and, like, face down the fucking Maku Empire or something. It would be great.
Maku Empire joined by Darkseid or something like that, I don't know.
Yeah, like, the Manhunters have joined the Maku Empire, and, like, they have to work together to split them up and stop
Red Maku Lanterns.
Like, that would be fucking great.
There's so much, it's an infinite font of untapped potential that we will probably never be able to drink from.
That was actually going to be my answer as well. Like, there were a bunch of publicity stills done back in the 70s when Japanese Spider-Man was airing.
Yeah, I was just about to talk about those.
Yeah, it was airing around the same time as Kamen Rider V3, and they were done by the same company, of course, so they did a bunch of publicity stills of the two of them fighting mooks together. And ever since I saw that, I thought that would be fucking perfect. Like, Spider-Man and Kamen Rider.
It's amazing. Great. It's Marvel's flagship hero and Toei's flagship hero fighting together. And they're both bugs. Works perfectly.
Yeah, I would especially love to see, like, Spider-Man and Kamen Rider Black team up. Because Black is so fucking serious. And Spider-Man always works best when he's quipping next to somebody who has no sense of humor whatsoever.
Yeah, you gotta have a straight man in order for it to be funny. And I think Kotaro makes the perfect straight man because he doesn't smile.
He never smiles. He only knows rage.
He smiles in flashbacks when he lives, like, the happiest, like, fucking laundry commercial life.
Yeah, takes happy showers with his brother.
It's like a commercial for, like, a birth control pill or something. He's always, like, running around, like, yeah, like, playing tennis, and he's got the sweater tied around his neck like some rich douche.
Shows him, like, him and his brother are riding, like, a two-person bicycle through a fucking field or something. It's beautiful.
But
and then it's destroyed by Golgom.
He would make a perfect, like, playing alongside Spider-Man. I think that'd be great. There's tons of potential.
Yeah. I also think, like, originally in comics, Captain America was unthawed in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And who else was active during the 70s? The original Kamen Rider. That would make a fucking awesome team up.
If Red Skull flee to Japan to try and recruit them again, like in World War II or something.
Yeah, like, there could be some, like, fucking Japanese supervillain, like, well, fuck it, he could just team up with Shocker.
Yeah.
Shocker or neo-Nazis?
Yeah, that's true. Shocker's a neo-Nazi, Red Skull's a neo-Nazi, you got that right there.
Yeah, like, Captain America and Kamen Rider could team up, there could be, like, fucking a little bit of post-war tension between them or whatever. It's perfect.
It's the perfect setup.
But it's never gonna fucking happen.
Never in a million... Part. Like, it's one of those things that it is possible, but we can say with confidence that it will never, ever, ever happen.
Yeah, how awesome would a team-up, even getting outside of Kamen Rider, how awesome would a team-up between Ultraman and Superman be?
Oh!
God, that would be good!
I would want to see Kuga and Superman, because they're both paragons of niceness and goodness.
Oh, yeah.
They would get along.
They would be the bestest of friends.
Giving each other thumbs up all day.
Oh, yeah. That would be beautiful.
On a more realistic note, maybe Kamen Rider with Tatsunoko heroes like Gatchaman or Kashurn or that Tekkaman Blade, that group.
Yeah, I could definitely see, like, Tekkaman and, like, all the fucking Tatsunoko versus Capcom characters.
Yeah, man, if you haven't played Tatsunoko versus Capcom, you should play that.
There should be Tatsunoko versus Toei. I'd play the shit out of that.
God! You got us going now, Cyberman Worf. This podcast is...
This beautiful world.
This is going to be another 40 minutes at least of Jeff. Wouldn't this be... Yeah, holy shit!
Don't you ever think about this? Holy fuck!
Oh my god!
Super Sentai and X-Men.
Perfect! Perfect!
There's so many great team-ups that could happen, but they're just never gonna.
That's a... Ugh.
We've gotten depressed. Come join us on Rider Club Radio where we fucking depress ourselves.
I'm going to be crying for the next week before the next episode. I don't know how I'm going to audio edit this one. There's going to be tears all over my keyboard.
Hey, speaking of a team-up that could maybe happen but never will, is how great would it be if, like, Ultraman, who was obviously has some sort of basis on Superman, hence because of the name, the origin, all of that shit, teamed up with Big O, that's an obvious parallel to Batman.
Oh.
That would be fucking sweet.
That would be cool.
That has nothing to do with Kamen Rider. I'm sorry, everyone.
We're going off on crazy tangents now.
Yeah. What if fucking Beavis from Beavis and Butthead teamed up with Astro Boy?
What if Goku fought Mario? What would happen?
Holy, Mario destroyed the sun, dude.
Goku could destroy the sun by fucking farting on it.
Well, it depends on how much... the visual you just gave me. It depends on how much of the supplementary material and, like, the filler and shit you're taking in, because Vegeta destroyed a fucking planet of bug people in the filler in his first appearance.
That's true. That's true. Well, I read the manga, and in the manga, he definitely got that strong. No filler. Well, filler free.
I mean, like, the supreme god of the universe is, like, a million times less powerful than Goku
when he
meets him. So.
That's true.
Thank the Dragon Ball cast.
Thank you for listening to the Dragon cast.
God. Write in and tell us about these fucking tangents. Do you want us to cut it out, or do you like us talking about other stuff we're interested in, too? RyderClubRadio@gmail.com.
RyderClubRadio, write us in at RyderClubRadio@gmail.com. And also send us a tweet and follow us on Twitter. That's at RyderClubRadio. No caps, no spaces, no numbers on either of those. Please.
Is this podcast over? Is that what we're doing right
now? I don't
know.
There's no more questions. There's no more news.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye. Please email us. Send us a Twitter. Shoot us a Twitter. Goodbye. Stop. 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 Stop.